Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now, Donna Hamm, a retired judge who's the founder and executive director of Middle Ground Prison Reform, an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that works to reform Arizona's criminal justice system. She is a former lower court judge in Coconino and Maricopa counties, as well as a former town magistrate pro tem. Welcome to Background Briefing, Donna Hamm.
Thank you.
And the fact that Joe Arpaio, the disgraced former sheriff of Maricopa County, has thrown his hat in the ring in terms of running for the U.S. Senate in Arizona looks like it's causing quite a great deal of political ripples there amongst the Republicans. And the consensus is that it may well end up being a gift for the Democrats. But let's start with, since Donald Trump pardoned Arpaio, is it likely that Trump will endorse him? I mean, that seems to be pretty logical, isn't it, Donna?
Well, it certainly seems like that is more realistic than it is for any other candidate, including Kelly Ward, who seems to be distancing herself a little bit because she was originally endorsed by Steve Bannon, and now she's backing away from that. So I think this is the latest stunt by Joe Arpaio, and I do think that not only could this benefit Democrats, but it may benefit another Republican who has not formally announced yet, but is who is anticipated, and that is Representative McNally. And she may enter the race. And if she does, I think what will happen in the Republican primary is that Arpaio and Ward will split whatever votes the ultra-conservative Republicans would get. And then she would get the remainder of them and possibly most of them.
Well, that would be on the assumption that, as we know, in primaries, the more motivated and zealous members of the party, which means on the Republican side, the far right, and on the Democratic side, the far left or the left, as opposed to the center. In this case, is there enough moderate Republicans left that are likely to vote in the primary?
In Arizona?
In Arizona.
Yes, I think there are. And I think, you know, Joe Arpaio has some distinct advantages. He has a lot of money. He's able to raise money, or at least he did in the past, but he certainly has a war chest. And he has name recognition all over the state, although he has never run for any office outside of just Maricopa County. So he's never even run a district legislative race, much less a statewide race. So while his name is clearly known throughout the state, it is an unknown quantity about just exactly how many voters he would attract on a statewide basis. But he also has a lot of baggage, and I think most people know about that, a ton of baggage. And so what if Martha McSally runs, I think she is the Republican candidate who is capable of giving the Democrat Kyrsten Sinema, who's the likely Democratic candidate, a run for her money. Because they're both, actually, Sinema and McSally are both Republicans for all intents and purposes. Sinema votes 48% of the time with Republican issues.
Well, Sinema is an interesting character, though, is she not? She's openly bisexual, and as you say, she's a conservative Democrat. But McNally's also got a pretty interesting resume. She's a former A-10 attack pilot, Air Force pilot, and as you say, she's likely to be the beneficiary of Arpaio's splitting the ultra-conservative vote with so-called Chemtrails Kelly, who is the protege of Stephen Bannon, who's now out of a job and somewhat disgraced. It's all rather interesting, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it
it's definitely going to be a race to watch, and that's why I think that even the voters who don't necessarily vote in primary elections may come out for this one, because by August, late August, when our primary is held, it should be perfectly clear to the state population about the importance of who they support and how they should support. And that would obviously include not just with donations, but also with a vote. And so I think people will go to the polls who don't necessarily go. But independents in Arizona are not allowed to vote in the primaries, at least I don't believe they are. And so that may be a problem with getting, not knowing what that vote will be.
But at this point, though, polling released yesterday from ABC 15 TV in Phoenix shows Joe Arpaio skyrocketing to the top of the Republican primary for U.S. Senate in Arizona. And that's obviously with a hypothetical endorsement from Trump, would bump that up even further. So I'm trying to figure this out. Do you think that he's going to be, obviously, if this early poll is any indication, he's on a fast track, shall we say. The other side of it is that the more Arpaio rises in prominence and in the polls, the more support Kyrsten Sinema will get from donors. I mean, already she's tweeted out today, Arizona's deserve leaders who work together to solve our country's greatest challenges. Joe Arpaio is not that person. Together we'll defeat Sheriff Joe's dangerous actions and tired rhetoric. Well, apparently money is just pouring into Kyrsten Sinema, and Democratic senators, California's Kamala Harris and Connecticut's Chris Murphy are encouraging their supporters to donate to her. So it looks as if Arpaio is going to be a massive fundraising boon for Kyrsten Sinema.
Indeed, he probably will, but he'll also be able to get funds himself. He always has. And keep in mind that the entire time he ran for sheriff, a vast amount of his money came from out-of-state supporters. And so he never really relied on Arizona voters to support him financially. He certainly got the votes until the last election, but he didn't get his money from those sources. And it would be reasonable to assume that those sources and more will support his Senate candidacy simply because they want to support a Trump Republican. And so he'll be raising money from out of state. And, you know, and so will Kyrsten Sinema, obviously, if other senators are encouraging their supporters to support her as well. It's a long way to go until August, and so many things can unfold. Another factor for Joe Arpaio, you know, and I hate to sound as though I'm discriminating by age, but he is 85 years old and will be 86 if he were elected by the time he took office. And I think that, I mean, if you just look at the insurance actuarial tables, he would not even be expected to survive and live a single term. And I think that voters will take that into account. I believe that the biggest boon for having Joe Arpaio enter the race is to Martha McSally if she enters the race, because Republicans are going to fight very, very hard to retain this Republican-held Senate seat. There's no question of that.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the age, 85, and he'd be 86 if he wins. That means after his first six-year term in the Senate, he'd be 92. This is coming up here in California with Dianne Feinstein running for another term, Kevin DeLeon, a younger and fairly charismatic young politician here in the state. He's challenging her. But she suddenly gotten a big boost because she released these transcripts of the Fuchs GPS testimony before the Judiciary Committee, which Senator Grassley had been sitting on. And that's sort of given her a boost with Californians' liberal voters who thought she was a little bit too conservative. So she may well get another term. So there's no telling, is there?
And I think part of that can be explained. I mean, look, Joe Arpaio has never done anything except be a county sheriff. And it's questionable about how well that qualifies him to be a state senator, a United States senator. And so Dianne Feinstein, I think, comes in a little different category, even though there may be an age factor for some people with her. Certainly, her opponent will collect some votes based on age alone, but she has experience and she has voter approval in the current job. And Joe Arpaio does not have that.
Right.
He's not a proven quantity, except as an elected sheriff. And there, it's a pretty dismal record if someone looks at it with an unbiased eye.
Well, Donald Trump, in his tweet storm today, attacked Senator Feinstein. So, again, all that does is help her get reelected. But what about the conditions of the pardon? Is a presidential pardon absolute? Because I had read somewhere that Arpaio's not entirely off the hook. As a former judge, do you know anything about his legal jeopardy, if any?
Well, I don't think that that's true now. I think that a judge upheld, a judge recognized the pardon, dismissed the case, but it has not been expunged from his record. So the only thing that he didn't get that he wanted was he did not get an expungement of the record. But the pardon itself is absolute, and I don't think he has any worries about that being declared illegal or withdrawn at any time in the future. Presidential pardons are, except under cases of fraud, would be very difficult to overturn.
So that he's no way could be disqualified from running for the
U.S. Senate. I don't believe so, no.
Right.
I don't think that is of concern. I think what has happened, though, the pardon has added to his record rather than deleted the record of the conviction, so that if you were a criminal justice agency checking his criminal history background, you would see that he was, in fact, convicted of this misdemeanor, but that a pardon was subsequently issued. And so the record stands. It's just that as a result of the pardon, legally he cannot suffer any consequences of the conviction. So obviously he can't be placed in jail or put on probation or fined or denied a job or a license solely based on the conviction, because a pardon simply eliminates the consequences of the conviction.
So we're talking about Arpaio running for this seat vacated by Senator Jeff Flake, who was a victim of Trump, clearly. He criticized Trump and Trump won. Just as Bannon criticized Trump and Trump won. So this is the reality. But what's happening with the other seat? Senator McCain, from what I understand, is in very, very dire health at the moment. What would happen if he were to pass soon, which may well be the case? The governor, of course...
Well, bless his heart, he is struggling, and I think the public posture from his team is that he is fighting and making progress and just taking a rest. But I think he understands that his time here is probably limited. And there, of course, will be an appointment. If he passes, there will be an appointment by the governor to his position, which opens that one wide up, except that will be required to be a Republican. So some people have even speculated that Governor Ducey himself, who is the person who will do the appointment, that he would appoint himself, because there's, of course, been political talk that the governor wishes to proceed to higher office. So that's something, though, that's entirely open for speculation, and no one, thankfully, is seriously discussing it right now, because Senator McCain is very much still holding the position, and I hope that he does.
Well, how long has his term got? In other words, how long would this governor, if he appointed himself, be in that seat?
I believe that Senator McCain's position expires in 2020.
I see.
He has two more years into his term.
So we already went through the Roy Moore situation in Alabama, and there was a great deal of alarm, the idea that a child molester, an alleged child molester, could be elected to the United States Senate. To my mind, Donna Hamm, this horrible racist, Joe Arpaio, he's not just a racist, he's cruel and sadistic, and he's cost Maricopa County millions and millions of dollars in settlements. His record is appalling. I'm not sure that he's any better than Roy Moore. I mean, it's a different kind of disgracefulness, but still, it's pretty appalling, isn't it, that this guy even has a chance of becoming a U.S. senator?
Well, I think the election is going to tell us a lot about Arizona, and it will be very, very, it'll either be gratifying or horrifying, depending upon the outcome. And I think that's what we're going to see here, is just how much Arizonans are willing to tolerate in a person of his beliefs and practices and character. And it'll be on a statewide basis. So it will be an opportunity to really test what Arizonans are willing to tolerate on this level. So I wouldn't predict, because many, many things have happened in the state that are appalling and surprising, and it's just too early to predict, because a lot could happen. You know, Joe Arpaio, my interactions with him, and we had a lot of them over the time, the couple of decades that he was sheriff, and my impression is that he really is not a well-rounded, well-researched, well-versed person on anything other than the very, very narrow things that he spoke about as sheriff. And even then, he spoke incorrectly and often in violation of the law. So I don't have great expectations for him to come forth with an intelligent discourse over the various issues that need to be discussed. He better be boning up if he's running for office. I hope he's got some people teaching him about water rights and veterans' rights and schools and education and healthcare, military, et cetera, because he has never dealt with those issues at all.
Well, Donna Hamm, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Donna Hamm, who's a retired judge, who's the founder and executive director of Middle Ground Prison Reform, an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that works to reform Arizona's criminal justice system. She is a former lower court judge in Coconino and Maricopa counties, as well as a former town magistrate pro tem. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.